This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage. I'm Tom Burgoyne, joined by John Brazier, my pal, partner in crime. John, we're making history today. Well, not really history. History's been made two other times, but this is the third time we're making history because we have a guest on who we've already had. He's going to join the ranks of
Scott Brander,
and Scott Brander.
Well, it's history in the sense that it's the first non-Phillies employee
Correct.
That's been on the third time.
Correct.
Right.
It's Dave Shaw. Welcome back, Dave.
Thank you. So, what elite company I'm in.
And if you didn't hear Dave the first time, Dave is the biggest Phillies fan living in England. He's the host of UK Phillies podcast, and on Twitter, he's at UK Phillies Baseball. But basically, Dave.
Also, Tom, just and correct me on this, but I think he has the largest Twitter following, social media following of any international team for fan for a team.
Doesn't surprise
me. In any of the four major sports.
Absolutely. Doesn't
right?
surprise
That's
me.
Correct.
Certainly
correct.
The biggest
yeah,
of baseball,
yeah, it is.
But
yeah.
I think in all of the sports.
Yeah.
And, we had you on a few months ago, I guess, Dave, and just again with your story, you know, you came to a Phillies game in 2012 after you were just, you know, touring around the country, went to your first baseball game. It was here at Citizens Bank Park.
That's right.
And fell in love with not only baseball, but the Phillies, right?
Instantly.
Chase Utley hit a home run that night.
Yep. On his first at bat back from injury.
Yep.
The place went just crazy. Like I said in the story, I could tell Chase was a big deal. Everyone had him on the back of his jersey. I'm looking around, like, everyone's getting on their feet, going crazy when he came to the plate. And then, the home run, and the place was rocking. And it was like, wow. And the ball landed literally 50 feet away from me. I was like, what's going on right now?
And you knew nothing about baseball.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing, except I knew that moment was a big deal, and that was something quite special.
I love that.
It reminds me, there's a band from England that you all know. It's World Party. And there's a guy, Carl Wallinger, right? Carl Wallinger is the lead singer. He came to a game. He's from, I think, from Wales, maybe, or somewhere in Great Britain. And he was asking me all these questions, and it was great. I loved it. He goes, he said, John, what is that yellow pole over there? And I said, that's the foul pole. He's like, why is it so negative? How come you don't call it a fair pole? I'm like, I don't know. That's a good question, right? And he said, why is that old sod right there wearing a uniform on the field? I'm like, he's a third base coach. He's like, yeah, but why is he on the field? He's not a player, is he?
Interesting perspective. Yeah. You know. So, Dave, again, you're back. We're coming off a couple weeks ago. Baseball hosted the London series.
Yes.
Cardinals versus Cubs. Where were you? Tell us all about it and how fired up London got.
Oh, wow. It blew any expectations. So I was there in 2019 for the Red Sox Yankees series, which was awesome. And then COVID struck.
At Wembley? Where was
it? No, that was at Olympic Stadium as well. Yep.
Still at Olympic Stadium.
Yep.
Which
right.
is where
West Ham
plays.
Play.
And that's East London.
East London, Stratford.
Yep.
Yeah, a real up and coming area. So the area itself, just around the stadium, is beautiful. Really nice. It's been, nearly 10 years renovation now around there. So the stadium is perfect. They couldn't do it in London or Tottenham because it's just too small. And you can't really walk around. The London Stadium is it's perfect. It really is. And the momentum was all lost after 2019 because of COVID, and then we're literally back to square one. So the Cubs card series felt like we're back. And now we carry the momentum to next year for the Phils Mets. But it's the best way to describe it is it's a festival. And it's unique and it's special. And it's not just the two games. It's London goes all out. Like, if London can do one thing amazing, it's putting on sporting events, big, big sporting events. And Trafalgar Square was all decked out in for baseball. They called it the Trafalgar Square Takeover. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they had interactive batting cages. They had foods from both ball clubs, from St. Louis, from Chicago, merchandise stalls. They had big guests. Ryan Howard, J-Roll were there. They were doing some swings, home run derby. And it was just, it's the big screen showing the games as well during the weekend. It was just incredible.
And I heard that the Cubs had their own bar. Like, they had a designated area that was a Cubs bar they took over.
Right outside Trafalgar
Square. Was that pre-set up, or did it just happen organically?
No, the Cubs set it up themselves.
Okay,
so
I got you.
The good thing for us, we've got the
we already have one.
The Paschiunks, yeah. And you've got three of them. We've got four of them, technically. You've got one in Stratford, which is...
Oh, I didn't. So he expanded. Wow.
Yeah.
JP Teddy.
Yeah, he's just... They've just opened one, literally, I think it was yesterday. They had the opening party for one in Battersea.
Okay.
Waterloo is the biggest one. A real, real Philly dive bar feel to it. It's underneath Waterloo Station. There's like a row of bars and breweries there. They're in there, very dark, your typical dive bar experience, but all decked out in Philly sports. It's incredible. Always showing Philly baseball, or any Philly sport in general.
And cheesesteaks.
Cheesesteaks are legit. They're as good.
I had the cheesesteak. I was over there when the Eagles played the Jaguars.
Yeah. And Dave, so do you get the sense now, just for the series from the other, the Cubs and the Cardinals, that fans, is it Londoners? Is it Englanders? Is it a lot of people come over from the States?
It's a lot of both. It's, you know, when I flew out here on Tuesday, there was a lot of Cubs and Cards at Heathrow flying back. So I was getting to talk to them and their experiences of the weekend, and they were all blown away. And there were thousands that flew over from Chicago and St. Louis. And it adds to the authenticity, it adds to the atmosphere. It's great. You know, they're getting involved. Then you had a lot of Londoners, but a lot of Europeans as well. Because baseball's big in the Netherlands, Germany, Czech Republic, Italy, and you saw baseball shirts worn from like Italian, you know, the World Baseball Classic. Italy shirts were there, Israel. Everybody was represented.
Yeah.
So it really adds to that unique atmosphere and experience.
Now, last time we talked about the difference between how the pregame celebration in a normal situation for an English sporting event and an American sporting event. Whereas, as you know, an American sporting event, we're in the ballpark now. You can look out at the parking lots and it'll be packed and people barbecuing and tailgating, right? Whereas over in England, for the most part, if it's a soccer game, football game, whatever, or a rugby game or cricket match, they are basically in the pubs.
They're in their own different pubs. Yep.
And then they wait. They're in the pubs till game time, and they spill out of the pubs and go right into the stadium. Now, was that the same for the London series?
So it was, but it was, again, it was really unique. So there's some excellent bars just outside the stadium where all fans of all teams were there. Like, every single team in the MLB was represented. The Cubs, majority, they had so many fans. They sort of did take over, but everyone just got along, you know, drinking beers, eating good food, making so many new friends. And then we went to Paschiunk beforehand as well. So the Phillies will have so many bars to take over ready. And then everyone just contrascends onto the stadium. When you're in, they set it up really well. Around the outskirts of the stadium, there's just tons and tons of bars. Fast food, again, all St. Louis and Chicago based, massive yard long hot dogs and just food you wouldn't get anywhere else except if an American sporting event came over.
That's
pretty
cool that they've really got the food over there. That's
right.
Really
so Philly, hopefully, you know, as we mentioned, cheesesteaks, JP Teddy, who's the owner of Paschiunk Avenue, already has that covered.
Will crab fries be over there? Chickies and
Pete's? Maybe John. Hey, Pete is very entrepreneurial, so you know he's going to do something like
Luke's.
That. Soft pretzels, you know, wouldn't be Philadelphia without soft pretzels, right?
Yeah. Well,
you need some water, as you say, water ice.
But the Cubs and the Cars both brought their chefs over. So they had them cooking out, giving ideas beforehand, and then they were in the stadium as well. It's behind some of the stalls.
Wow, you get teeth over here.
Yep.
It sounds great. And I know in the stands, they separate the crowd, right? So like half is Cardinals and half are Cubs?
Well, they do that in football games for safety reasons.
No, but I thought they did it with the baseball,
did they?
No?
No, not really. You had like the Cubs fans descended mainly behind their dugout, and the cards were mainly behind the cards dugout. But everybody was mixing.
Everybody else was
mixing. Was mixing, which added to the atmosphere, you know. And there was a lot of friendly banter, you know, especially between Cubs and cards. I had some Mets fans sat near us, and it was just some
Who invited them?
Yeah, I know. Too many Mets guys.
I mean, should they be ashamed right now to be in public?
I know.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, a lot of the countries who have baseball, so they're knowledgeable. Obviously, the U.S. fans who are coming over to watch the game. You know, isn't it crazy? Baseball's been around for 140 years, and you would think, and the way that England and the U.S. have, you know, when it comes to pop culture and movies and music, it's weird that baseball hasn't translated in 140 years. But do you get the sense that England folks are just as knowledgeable about the game, or are they still getting there? Are they still learning it?
Good, it's a good mix. Again, like for myself and then for teams, a lot of fans of other teams who know the sport, their knowledge is as good as you'll get anywhere in the world. But there was a lot of new people there. You could see people were there for the first time, a lot of newcomers, which is great, because at the end of the day, we're trying to leave a legacy, we're trying to grow the game, we're trying to get new fans into sport. There's nothing better than getting bums on seats and then watching it in the flesh. And I was trying to talk to some people who were there for the first time, and they loved it. They loved it. They sort of were grasping the basics of what was going on. They couldn't believe how much there was to the game, which they loved as well. And it was just a great experience, a great atmosphere. The games were, well, the game one wasn't too good. Game two was a bit closer.
Yeah.
But it was, it's just a festival. It's just a festival.
I forget, are you a cricket fan? Like, were you a cricket fan at all?
The Ashes is on right now, and which is England, a big rival, England-Australia.
Yep.
I'll follow that. And I'm more of a fan of the short form of cricket.
But I'm just wondering whether, like, if you're from England and you're a big cricket fan, you know, obviously baseball is similar, right? It's got tons of differences, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering whether that's helped kind of people understand
a
little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think people know that you have to have patience with the game.
Yep.
Like, because cricket, you got to have something you can play for 5 days.
Yeah, they complain about our
for draw.
The length of our games. They get a 3-day test match.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think people know that you got a bit of patience with it. I think the new rules have actually really helped to engage new fans, because the games are quicker now.
Yep.
And that does help, especially when we've got to watch at the middle of the night. You know,
yeah,
we're going to bed at 2 a.m. instead of 3:30, exactly. 4 a.m. as some games went on. Yeah. So that definitely helps as well.
And Dave, I think it's interesting how you say we want to put fans in the stands. We, you know, how much satisfaction did you, even just from last weekend, to see, you know, the spectacle of it? Do you gain some personal satisfaction? Like, you know what? I play a little bit of a part
in
this.
Yeah. Big time.
Big part.
Big time, especially when you're having Philly fans and baseball fans
sort
of recognizing who you are. And the amount of people who didn't have caps of teams yet, I was like, you got a team yet? You a fan of your team yet? No? Right. Welcome to the Phillies.
Nice, Dave.
Take them in. But no, all of us talking, the overall opinion was for all of us who've been working hard, myself and people in the British baseball community, we're really just seeing it for 55,000 for both games, for Cubs versus Cards, you know, two not really playoff chasing teams, both having a tough season. And we just thought next year is going to be electric, because Philly fans travel well, wherever they go. And we know New York travel well as well. They're going to come over, but The Philly takeover is going to be real next year.
Again, I was there for the Jaguars-Eagles game, and it was now Jaguars have been playing there almost every year, but Eagles fans came. You couldn't you walked in any neighborhood in London, and you saw Eagles jerseys everywhere.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about. So, you know, it was pretty cool that baseball held out until the Cards Cubs series started, and they made the announcement. Phillies Mets. What's that mean for you in terms
June 8th and 9th
of 2024? What's that mean for you in terms of getting things done? You have a to do list.
Yeah,
you know,
big
what
time.
You got to do?
Big time. I've been, like, as I'll say now, and to everyone I've spoken on social media, if anyone's got any questions, anything they want to know, just drop me a DM on Twitter or Instagram or on the Facebook group, and I will do my best to help anybody out. It means a lot to me personally. It's a dream come true. It honestly is.
Yeah.
And it's still quite surreal. When I was sat there Sunday watching the Cubs Cards, thinking, that's us next year. It's going to be Bryce Harper. That'd be Kyle Schwarber putting balls in the River Thames. You know, it's just...
Splash down.
Yeah.
Do they have that? Really? Can you hit a ball in the
River? No, you can't.
No, okay.
Yeah,
but, all right.
I mean, Schwarber's power, who knows?
Well, and then they set up like home plate supposedly at the half field, right?
That's right. It's the way they transform the stadium is so well done. And this year, compared to 2019, they've made a lot of improvements. So you didn't have the crazy scores of 17-15 like you had for the Red Sox Yankees. This felt like a proper game. You know, proper scoring, some great defense on show, some great plays. You know, both games had it all.
What's the field surface? Is it grass or AstroTurf?
It's sort of an Astro, like the Jays have. It's that sort of feel to it, a bit AstroTurfy. So it's the ball sort of dies or it bounces quite a bit more, but it's.
And I know white seats were a potential issue. I know, but I don't think it played.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. And they'll be full of red next year. Anyway,
yes, it will
fills,
be. Yes, you know? It
so
will
it's
be.
Gonna be. It's so special. I say it's just special. It's surreal. It's going to be crazy. It's not just the two games. It's the events surrounding that.
Sure.
You know, I know the Cubs and Cards both had meetups set up on the Friday and Thursday. They had all their broadcasters down there, all players down there. The public Cubs took over. They had so much going on down there. And it's the same for the Phils next year. We're going to, like, if you can, get here from, like, Wednesday onwards, because we're planning events at Passyunk Avenue at both sites at Fitzrovia and Waterloo. It's going to be a great chance. It's just going to be a festival. It's the best way of putting it.
Awesome.
Yeah, and my guess is there's going to be Philly radio stations going down there. There's going to be a media row. There's going to be celebrities. There's going to be different events. I know we had several employees came to watch, see what the Cubs and Cardinals did to kind of learn from that. And I know, the Phillies are very good about throwing a party and throwing events. So.
Well, I actually watched the Sunday game with the Fanatic, Dave, and he had some questions for you, actually. He saw, I guess, they do the mascot race and the presidents
did
down
you,
in Nashville.
Did you see that? Yeah.
But yes, yeah. So tell me about that. They had a mascot race, and was it the King and the Queen and the Royal Guard?
Freddie Mercury.
Oh, Freddie Mercury?
Henry VIII.
Yeah, yeah.
Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher was another one.
And then was it Royal Guard? One of the guards with the big black hats? Or
he was meant to be someone famous as well, but I can't think. I think they're the King Charles as well. Like the massive overgrown heads.
Little legs
wandering
Admiral
around.
Halsey.
Yeah, Admiral Halsey. Yeah.
So I hope they're not expecting the Fanatic to run, John, because he's not. He needs to drop a few lbs before he goes to England. But I did see, and we both saw that. Clark from the Cubs and Fred Bird from St. Louis were over there,
They both were there.
Did you see them over there?
Yeah, they were there. So I was lucky enough to be in the VIP bit for a while, which is right on the scoreboard where they were doing the DJ stuff. And both mascots were in. Both teams had a celebrity singing Take Me Out to the Ballpark in the 7th inning stretch.
Do you remember who they were? Bill Murray, obviously.
Bill Murray was there.
Yeah, I'm sure Bill Murray. Eddie Vedder was a big Cubs fan.
Who was it? He is. It would have been awesome if he was. I can't think who it was. It was a Cards, really famous Cards fan that I can't think who it was. It's just going to annoy me. I'd had a few drinks by.
So how I have a couple questions about the stadium itself. How tall are the walls? Like how do they seem like high
they
walls?
They raise them. Yeah. So actually, the Philly is very similar in terms of the left field and right field walls.
Okay.
That was pretty much the height as well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And then is there a retractable roof? Because obviously it rains a lot in London. So
that's my one worry.
do they have rain? I mean, I know there's a day off before. There's a day off on Friday. I think even on Thursday. But there's probably a day off on Monday, I imagine. That's probably why it's a two-game series, just for weather contingencies.
Yeah, the Friday was their batting practice. So, again, that's open to the public. But ticketed. So again, if you're coming early, look out for the announcements because it's an opportunity. I'll be putting things out there. We're given a certain allocation. So both teams take to the field, do a batting practice, do a bit of fun with the media. It's like a media/ batting practice day at the same time. Again, great fun.
And that's the day before. So if it's a game on Saturday, that was on Friday.
That was on Friday. Okay. Yeah, that's Friday. Yeah, it's an all afternoon thing from 11 till 5.
All afternoon. So I know I was watching the broadcast. Tim Kirchin was doing some reports, and he was mentioning that the players all had an opportunity to visit the sites. Like a lot of these guys.
It was crazy seeing the some of the Cubs guys. It was Wainwright and one of the players on top of a double-decker bus, and they were doing some – they're making them try some – traditional British food like chocolate pies and but yeah like they had
kidney
all sorts
pies.
While they were going underneath the Tower of London on top of a double-decker bus, you know. And
so is that like on Thursday? Like, do they arrive on Thursday and have a little, like, when would they have
I know
the
Thursday's
time?
A day off, so they probably get down, they probably fly out Wednesday night, get in Thursday, and then I guess
It'll be a night flight over. So they'll play Wednesday, fly out. I imagine they'll put both teams home for that Wednesday.
So do you think will we have some more scheduled doubleheaders just because we're going to have some built-in days?
Yeah,
off?
I know our schedule's coming out in a couple weeks.
Yep.
All right. So the other question is now, Tom, have you been to London?
No.
First time.
And Fanatic's, Fanatic's never been to London.
And Fanatic's never been there. He's fired up.
Dave, if you're going to come out to London, like, obviously with all the different baseball activities and the game, right? But most of the people coming out are coming to London for the first time now. I've got my own preferences as far as things that I like to do, but if you're an American, you got to see the London Tower, London, right?
Tower, London.
You got to see Westminster Abbey,
Abbey. The good thing is they're all pretty close together as well, and everywhere is so accessible.
Buckingham Palace.
So it's a walking. You can walk.
Yeah, uh-huh. You can easily walk it, but the tube system is fantastic. Tubes every 2-3 minutes.
Okay.
So easy. Tap on, tap off with your card. You don't really need to pay for tickets anymore. Buses are very accessible. The transportation, even if you're on the outskirts, if you can't stay in central London, look on the outskirts because there's so many trains that can get you to London within 20 minutes.
That's
and it'll probably be a bit cheaper as well for people with more of a budget. So
you got the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace.
Well worth doing.
Right?
Yeah, well worth doing.
What else? You got a lot of Hyde Park. You got a lot of some of the parks.
Regent's Park.
St. James Park.
Madame Tussauds, Baker Street. If you like your Sherlock Holmes, Baker Street, you got that.
Go shopping at Harrods.
Harrods, you could.
That's like the Macy's of
London.
That's
like the famous, right. The member of Princess Di was dating Doty, right?
That's right.
And Doty's family owns Harrods. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can start west, which is that sort of West London. So you can start there and then work your way in. Then you can do Victoria, Trafalgar Square, Buckingham Palace, keep working your way along to Hyde Park, and then Piccadilly Circus, Leicester Square, Covent Garden, Shaftesbury, all the theatre land and area. That's really well worth
doing. If you're a music fan, you can go to Apple Records or check out Abbey Road.
Abbey Road.
And you can simulate the walk along
that's
the
That's right, on the zebra crossing.
Crosswalk.
I did that for the graphic for the London series announcement. I had Bryce, the Fanatic Bryce Castellanos.
Can you jam with the Stones?
Can't jam with the Stones.
No. Oh, if only. If only.
One of my favorites is actually the Churchill bunkers, the bunker museum.
Oh, okay,
Where basically Churchill was during the war itself. And that's fantastic if you're a World War II buff.
There's a lot of history. Monument, Tower of London is well worth doing the tour. And even heading out towards Greenwich and that sort of area. Canary Wharf, very upcoming areas now as well. Greenwich, where the Mean Time is.
Yep.
And it's a lovely area. And Stratford itself is really up and coming. London's really expanding out now, so you can't really
go on the Ferris wheel.
Oh, and Ted Lasso.
That's right.
Richmond, yes.
Richmond,
yeah, well worth heading
out. That's funny.
There.
A lot of people will do.
Where do you go? Is it like the pub that they shot there?
It's all
the
there,
stadium?
It's all there. The stadium is Crystal Palace, which is South London.
Okay.
But everything else is pretty much all built. So the River Thames, a lot of scenes were there.
Oh.
The pub's just around the corner. Where Ted lived is all, again, it's all in the same within a half a mile of each other.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful area as well. Richmond,
that's like going to Boston and going to Cheers.
Right.
You know?
But I bet you a lot of people were big Ted Lasso fans. That's funny.
You know, last time we had you on, Dave, we were talking about how Chase Utley's over there and he's helping bring baseball to England and internationally. Did you have any run-ins? Did you see him at all?
He was a busy man.
Yeah,
I was trying to catch J-Roll and Ryan as well. But they were, to be fair to them, they were in schools. They were doing all sorts in the communities, again, trying to give away baseballs, giving away jerseys, uniforms, teaching them how to play the basics, which is really good to see because, again, to help them grow the game, you've got to get the kids in.
Yeah.
A lot of the kids got in for free in schools into the game as well, which is great. But they were really busy. They were on such tight schedules. So it was tough to catch him, but I'm hoping to get Chase on the podcast in the off season as well. So that's going to be
it's going to be great for him too. I mean, now that the Phillies are coming over, I mean, he's going to be, like you said, real busy next year.
He's excited because when I saw him in October, just gone, I said to him, you know, Phil's Mets, you know, it makes sense. And he just looked at me and smiled and said, "We'll see what we can do." And
nice.
He knew.
I think he knew. Yeah.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
All right. So we've already given Dave a quiz when he was on last time, but you have another quiz.
Yeah, but I think when we did the quiz, if I remember correctly, didn't I give you words like what they mean in England? I think in English or over the country of England. But I have a quiz that I don't think we gave you a T-shirt. Did we give you a T-shirt? Backstage
McGoin and Brazier? Yeah, I have one. Yeah.
Did. All right. Well, you know what? Well, then Lauren will win a shirt if you get 6 of 8. Okay, but it should be pretty easy. And this is the quiz is born in Great Britain or America, and it's born. So there's some a little tricky because some might be born.
Okay.
You might think that they're English or somewhere from Great Britain.
Hey, before we start the quiz, let's hit the theme song. Hit it.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stop you with Brazier's Quiz.
All right, now we're ready. John Jenner, you're making me nervous.
I need you. You need the theme of Skip. We need Skip, right?
Skip to lead us off.
And also, we got to say thanks to Clothing Scott.
Clothing Scott for the
T-shirt. B2 Unlimited,
thanks,
who's
given
us the T-shirts.
Awesome.
All right, 6 out of 8. This is born in Great Britain or America. Okay, so you got a 50-50 chance on both. You have 8 questions. You got to get 6 out of 8 in order for Lauren to get a T-shirt. All right.
We got this.
Is Christian Bale, born in Great Britain or America? Christian Bale. I'll let you use Lauren, since she has a vested interest in this. You can use her for one lifeline, okay? But only one lifeline. No facial expressions. So is Christian Bale, was he born in Great Britain or is he born in America?
Why do I feel...
He's trying to look at...
I think he's British. I think he's born in Britain.
Born in Britain. Haverford West? I don't know, never heard of
Wales.
It. Is that Wales?
Yeah, Wales,
okay,
yeah.
Hereford West. All right, ready? Peter Dinklage. You know who Peter Dinklage is? Game of Thrones. He's the...
I'm pretty sure he's born in America.
Born in America. 2 for 2, New Jersey.
Two.
All right, how about this one? Renee Zellweger. Bridget Jones.
Oh, I know, but...
Bridget Jones, Renee Zellweger.
She's in so many British movies, it would make sense. I'm going to say British... Born in Britain?
No, she's from Texas.
Texas girl.
All right, you are 2 for 3. All right, how about this one? Idris Elba. Elba, who is Stringer Bell in one of the greatest shows of all time, The Wire.
Yeah, he's born in Britain.
London. All right.
Hopefully the next James Bond.
All right, you're 3 for
really?
4.
They're really trying to get
okay.
him.
I don't understand James Bond. He dies in the last one.
Are you kidding
me? The movie was five years ago.
You just ruined it for every fan James Bond fan.
But it was 5 years ago.
Wow.
And I don't understand. I thought right there the series should be over.
It's just like Doctor Who. They just keep coming back.
I don't agree with that.
I know.
It's kind of like the fanatic had a nephew. Maybe he'll Bond will like be...
He disappeared.
Maybe Jimmy Bond, right? Jack Bond, somebody.
I don't know.
All right, here we go. You are 3 for 4. You're on your way.
Come on.
Okay. How about Anya Taylor-Joy? Do you know who she is?
No.
She was in Queen's Gambit. Yeah, you ever see Queen's Gambit?
Did you ever see Queen's Gambit? Great show on the stream. Was that HBO?
All right. If you don't know who this person is, she's getting a lot of roles.
Let's disqualify that.
We'll disqualify that one. I can add another one.
I'll add another one.
All right, Amy Winehouse.
Oh, British.
Yeah, that's an easy one. She's London.
All right, so she's got 4 out of 5.
How about Gillian Anderson? Do you know who she is? X-Files.
Yeah, X-Files.
Yep. Gillian Anderson.
Born in America.
You are right. You're doing pretty good. All right, you got two more.
Two more.
Two more, ready?
You got to get
palms
one of these.
Palms are sweating.
Marcus Mumford. From Mumford and Sons.
He's English. Yeah, born in Britain.
Bang. He was born in Yorba Linda, California, and moved to UK when he was 6 months years old.
That's
6 months old. That was a trick question.
So now we're down to the last.
He's got
to
get the last one.
He's got to get this question right.
I threw a little wrench into the.
That's a trick.
I just saw Marcus Mumford perform in spring training.
Huh.
Down right near the Tampa Bay Buccaneers stadium.
Ah, they're awesome.
That? Yeah,
brilliant,
I'm a big fan too. All right, last
for
one.
For the T-shirt.
Here, drum roll, please. All right, Hugh Laurie, who from House. You know Hugh Laurie?
Yeah.
You haven't used your lifeline yet.
Yeah. We're going British.
He is British.
Dang.
From Cambridge. Oh. And Lauren wins a T-shirt.
Good job, Lauren. Good all help right. there. All right, well, I guess we're going to wrap this up. Dave, thanks for coming on again.
Wrap it up with Dave, but we're going to come back because we have some international stories
to tell.
Once we let Dave, I have to get Dave a T-shirt and take a little time out.
Thanks for coming back, Dave.
Thank you for having me on.
We can't wait to see you next year. Maybe we'll see you before then, but we cannot wait to see you in London in June.
And you're going to join our podcast when we're out there, and I'm only saying that because when someone says, John, you're not going to London, I'm like, I have to because we have Dave coming on the podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan, John. Thanks again,
Dave.
Thank you
for having me on. And guys, we'll see you in London and hopefully see many of you listening in London next year.
Sounds good.
Right. Be right. Cheers.
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 When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Phillies backstage. John, I feel like I should be booking my flight today, and I just want to go now.
I know. Well, I need to go talk to Jill and say, we need to book this. We just had Dave on, and I'm all excited.
I want to bring my family over. I have two kidneys. I figured I'll sell one of them, so that should finance part of the trip.
Right.
And so one kidney, that's all you need, right, John?
It's all you need. And, Tom, as you know, I just got back from Greece. I was in Europe a couple weeks ago.
You were doing some international traveling.
Took my daughter and wife, and it was my daughter's first trip to Europe.
I saw those pictures on Facebook.
Jill's first trip to Greece, and it was spectacular. We went to where Mamma Mia was filmed, Skopelos, and then we went to Santorini, where you see in all the restaurants. It's the
island,
most beautiful place. But it just reminded me that I was there in 1997 with Scott Rolen, actually. Scott Rolen was just completed his second year. And the funny story is we go over there, and this is before cell phones. So basically he was calling – his first time in Europe, he was calling home on a cell phone from, like, wherever we were, right, to call home to his parents in Indiana. And I guess by that we were going island hopping. So we went to Naxos, went to this island, Mykonos, and then we get to Santorini. By the time we got to Santorini
– and you guys were off the grid.
Totally off the grid because, again, there's no cell phones back
then.
No
cell phones.
No internet, no anything.
Yep.
So we so by the time we get to Santorini, we had met up with this big group, international group, South Africa, Australia, English, all these different people that couldn't care who Scott Rolen was because he wasn't – if he was a rugby player or a cricket player or a tennis player or a soccer player, right, they would have been all over him. But he was a baseball player. So he had – I guess we were out, having fun with all these people. He went 4 days without calling home,
right?
So I remember he said, I got to call home. I haven't called home in a long time. So he goes into the village of whatever, Santorini, and finds a payphone, comes back and says, oh, my God, I won the gold glove. I said, what do you mean you won the gold glove? Ken Caminiti always wins the gold glove. He said, I won the gold glove. So now I'm thinking of all the radio stations that are calling me who don't know that I'm in Greece.
Right.
And the media are trying to find Scott. They don't know he's in Greece.
I remember when that went down.
And they call.
Nobody could find Scott Rowland. They tell me that he won the gold glove.
They call the manager, which I guess was what, Terry Francona. They called Ed Wade. They called Kevin Sefcik and Rico Broni and all of his buddies.
Did they call the agents? The pub in Greece that you guys were probably at?
No, but I remember they called their parents, and the parents were like, oh, he's in Greece. Right. Oh, good. How can we get a hold of him? I don't know. Is he in Athens? I don't know. Is he in a hotel? I don't know. How do you know? It's like, well, when he calls home, then we'll know. So I'll never forget. We go out that night. We're in a Santorini, some bar. We got like 12 people, again, all international people. And this guy Brad says, all right, mates, raise a toast to Scotty Rolen. He won the gold glove. I don't know what the blank a gold glove is made. Congratulations.
Had no idea what a gold glove
was. No idea, gold glove. So, yeah, so it was a little different experience this time.
Well, and that's pretty cool. See, you get to travel around with, you know, big hotshot MLB players, future Hall of Famers, and I travel with the Fanatic. You know, it's like,
Who's in the mascot Hall of Fame?
Yeah, but have you ever shared a bathroom with the Fanatic?
I know he stinks.
Yeah, it's awful. And, you know, sometimes you go and there's only one bed. Just think Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with John Candy and Steve Martin. Steve Martin. And
well, also the Fanatic gets no respect internationally because I do know that he went to Australia, correct?
Yeah.
And I know the Cubans weren't very happy with him. And my mom's Cuban,
Almost started an international incident that year. That's right. You have a good memory, John. Oh, that was Australia. You know, because it was like the mid-90s when Major League Baseball really got aggressive with trying to expand internationally. Dave was talking about a festival atmosphere. They went to different countries to set up like a fan fest festival experience, and so they brought the Fanatic to all these different countries. So it was a great experience. Of course, I got to go with them, which was great. But the Australia one was crazy. Australia is one of those countries kind of new to baseball, not like Cuba, who was the big powerhouse international team. But
they've had major leaguers. I mean, Grant Balfour.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, they have. But the Fanatic worked the tournament. And everybody was enjoying the Fanatic, and it came down to, amazingly enough, Australia made the finals against Cuba. And the morning of the game, they had to meet Cuba officials, met with the MLB officials, and they said if the green mascot is out there on the field at any point, we're forfeiting. We don't want the mascot. It distracts our players. Hmm. That's what the Cuba officials told the MLB. And the Fanatic wasn't happy about it. It was like, everybody had been having a great time. So they came to a little they kind of came to a compromise. The Fanatic was able to be out there during the pregame, but the two times he was going out there between innings to do routines wasn't allowed. Had to be in the stands. So the Fanatic, again, wasn't real happy. It was pregame before the final game, and the game's about to start.
The Fanatic's not good about rules either.
He doesn't like rules. And so there's the Fanatic just before the game started, arms crossed, staring at the Cuban coaches. There were like three or four coaches, and wouldn't leave the field. And he had it arranged where some security came and forcefully removed the Fanatic from the field, and kicking and screaming. And I just remember, in the fifth inning, he wasn't in the stands for his routine. He climbed this flagpole that had a stage on like midway up the flagpole, and he climbed this thing in a dress and did Aretha Franklin's Respect because he thought he wasn't getting
lack
of respect. But that was it. And it turns out Australia beat Cuba in the final.
Because of the Fanatic.
Because of the Fanatic. And I just remember, you know, the parties in Australia were great because it was a huge win for them to knock off Cuba.
Now, tell us about I know the Fanatic also went to Europe because we were talking about, obviously, Phillies playing there next year. But went to Rotterdam.
Yeah, Rotterdam. That was interesting. I mean, they are one of the countries that's been playing baseball
for
a long time.
The Netherlands is very good, right?
Yeah,
obviously.
Long time. Have there been a lot of Dutch players, though, John?
Sure, yeah, especially from the Dutch Antilles.
Yeah.
So if you remember, obviously, Andrew Jones.
Oh, Andrew Jones, right.
Yeah, right?
That's
no, they've got
that's
a lot
the
of
one
players.
Guy I can think of. But, that was a great trip. You know, it was a really small ballpark. You were allowed to roll in your own kegs, John. Could you imagine coming to a game or going to an Eagles game or a Phillies game and being able to bring in a keg to the game? Hmm. So I thought that – the Fanatic thought that was pretty cool. So they all thought the Fanatic was hilarious, you know. No chicken wire because the Fanatic made a trip to Central Mexico and did the Mexican Winter League one year.
Right.
And they had chicken wires. It was like the Blues Brothers movie,
right.
You know?
Yeah,
it's like they walked into
bottles.
The bar.
Yeah.
And the Fanatic walks into the stadium. He's like, he looks at me. I'm like, I had to talk to the people at the game. I'm like, what's with the chicken wire? Well, they don't like you.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, uh-oh. Hey, Fanatic, you better.
Both kinds of music.
Country
and
Western.
So when you're in Netherlands, though, is there a green light district in honor of the Fanatic?
No, the Fanatic did not go to the green light district, John. No. He was on a boat trip. trip in Amsterdam, though, because he did go roll it over to Amsterdam and saw kind of the red hue of the lights from the canal.
Sure.
But he never made it up there.
Now, the Fanatic's also been to, obviously, the Fanatic is from the Galapagos Islands, so technically he's been to South America.
He's been to South America, yeah.
And Japan.
Japan. He's been
several
to Asia
times.
Quite a bit of time. Yeah, quite a bit. Yes.
Does he like Japan?
It's great. I don't know how much they like him. No, they love him. But the first time over there, John, Tokyo Dome, never forget it. The Fanatic goes into the crowd. Now, that's generally what the Fanatic does. He's in the crowd. He's messing with people. Their mascots do not do that. They literally, after a home run is hit in Japan baseball, the guy trots around the bases. When he reaches home plate, the mascot will give them a stuffed doll of their character. And before the player goes into the dugout, he throws the doll into the stands, like as a giveaway. That's all they do. They just stand. They just wait, like, behind the plexiglass waiting for somebody to hit a home run. But it's like, the Fanatic's over here. He's going to go into the crowd. And they weren't expecting it, and the Fanatic got ushered out of there by security.
Did the Fanatic try any food items? Because I know they've got some exotic food, like pufferfish, which is very dangerous, right? And they also have sushi. They've got some wild raw fish.
John, Fanatic has to be careful about that because it could be considered cannibalism, you know, with what he's eating. Right. He doesn't want to eat a cousin.
Right.
But he did want to bring his hot dog launcher over there. He was destined to try to shoot sushi into the crowd, but it did not happen.
Karaoke? Does Fanatic do karaoke?
Can't talk, John. You know better than anybody.
That's true.
But, John, all right, this podcast has gotten completely out of hand. Is there anything else you got?
I'm just very excited. So for Philly fans out there, you heard Dave, June 8th and 9th, and it's going to be – I know tickets don't go on sale for a while, but it's going to – I just know going out to the Eagles, Jaguars, how much fun it was, especially seeing all the Phillies – or the Philadelphia fans come out there, it's going to be fantastic.
Great. Well, you make a good point because we really don't have any information. If you're listening to our podcast and you want to contact me and John, we have no information. Right. You know, because I already have. I have a second cousin who's already reached out to me. Hey, Tom, I want to go to the game in London. How do I get tickets? I'm like, I have no idea.
Well, and they might want to reach out to Dave because to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's different vocab. Even though we speak the same language, it's two different continents and – and we have there's different, like, if you say, you know, the kit's in the boot, that means your uniform is in the trunk of the car, right? But you didn't know what a kit in the boot, right?
What?
And when they go to a restaurant, they hear bangers and mash. They have no idea what's going on, right? So there's a lot of, you know, Dave can kind of help people understand what the different words mean, lorries and whatever else that could come about.
All right. That's scary. You're scaring me.
Yeah, because if you say you're pissed, right?
Yes.
Now, what would you think? You're upset, right?
That's drunk.
Yes,
right?
You're exactly right. But obviously, and there's other things.
This is a newt.
Yes. There's other things, too, you just don't want to say, like, well, I don't want to get in trouble because there's an item that people wear around their waist. Like, it's almost like a wallet type thing.
A fanny pack?
Wait, you can't say that, Tom.
Why not?
Don't say that word in England. That's all
right.
I can say.
All right. You'll tell me off the air, John?
Yes.
Oh my God. What did I just say? Are we going to get are they going to pull the plug on us?
No, you didn't know.
The FCC?
Ignorance. You can't be guilty of ignorance.
All right. Well, all good, John. This was a lot of fun, and let's keep the winning up for the Fightin' Phils, and we'll see you next time, everybody, on Phillies Backstage.